This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hi, I'm Ron Paul, former congressman and presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about a product that might just save your lives. It's a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. With this great product, you can freeze dry the food your family loves, and it will last for 25 years. Our ancestors preserved and prepared for difficult times, shouldn't we? To learn more, go to harvestright.com or call 800-594-4635. That's 800-594-4635.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The system is rigged. It's crooked.
For months during the 2016 GOP primary, that was Donald Trump's battle cry. The system is rigged. Crooked. That's not how democracy works. The election is being stolen. We heard it all from Donald Trump and his supporters. Using that logic, another United States president stole the election. That president? Abraham Lincoln. The year was 1860, the GOP's second nominating convention. It was also its first contested convention. The fledgling anti-slavery party had lost its first general election in 1856, but since had gained a lot of sympathy and momentum of the pro-slavery Democrats. And it believed that their nominee this time would go on to win the presidency. Author of The Great Comeback, How Lincoln Beat the Odds, Gary Eckelbarger, talks about this new political entity.
The Republican Party is a big tent fusion party. It is not the GOP, the grand old party. It is the BNP, the brand new party. And the problem with a brand new party is that its elements, its makeup, were people that were politically opposed to each other just a few years before. The Republican Party consisted of old Democrats and old Whigs and old free soilers and old American and know-nothing elements. These were people that were politically opposed to each other, and they still hated each other. The only thing they agreed on was the main principle of the Republican Party that they all agreed upon, and that was not to extend slavery into the territorial region of the United States, what will eventually become the Dakotas, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, of course, and part of Colorado and Utah. All of that, it had the threat of having slavery extending into it when Stephen A. Douglas passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act in 1854. So much like the Whig Party formed in opposition to Andrew Jackson, the Republican Party formed in the mid-1850s in opposition to Stephen A. Douglas. But the only thing they all had in common was that they'd hated the idea of slavery extending into the territories. After that, there are so many differences that the party was really hard to hold together.
So the new party's big event was set for mid-May in Chicago, a city that was burgeoning, but at 110,000 people, certainly not the massive metropolis it is today. And with the country's epicenter being the large urban areas of the East Coast at the time, Chicago seemed an unlikely choice. So how is it selected? Eckelbarger explains.
They decided on June of 1860, and then that eventually will be moved up to the middle of May. Where is going to be the problem? Because there are so many prominent Republicans being talked up that everybody was shooting down any state where these people hailed from as a bias or at least an advantage to them. So you couldn't bring up any place in New York City because that was an advantage to William Henry Seward. You couldn't bring up Pittsburgh because that was Simon Cameron's advantage. You couldn't bring up Columbus or Cincinnati because that would be an advantage for Salmon P. Chase. The state or the city that looked like it was going to win hands down because it had hotels, it had railroads, it was supposed to be St. Louis. All right. But St. Louis really had a candidate to consider as well, and that was Edward Bates, who was an old Whig. He really wasn't even declared as a Republican, but they knew he was going to be presented as a potential nominee. So that was one strike against him, and they're arguing about this. The other problem with St. Louis is it was in a state where Republicans had no chance to win in a general election. Okay, as I said, no southern state is going to vote for any Republican, so they didn't want that convention. There was some angst about having a convention in a state that had no chance of going Republican in 1860. So while all the parties are fighting about this, the different heads, Judd stood up and said, "Why don't you hold it in Chicago? It's a neutral place where all of you front-running candidates have an equal chance." Little did they realize that he's up there in support of Abraham Lincoln, who's under the radar. And when the final votes come through, Chicago will win over St. Louis by one vote. Judd's.
The city had nowhere to hold such an event, so they quickly got to work on constructing a new arena, nicknamed the Wigwam, which would hold 10,000 delegates and convention attendees. Such a large venue would be needed since there was quite a number of candidates seeking the Republican nomination this year, and all of them would be bringing massive numbers of supporters with them. There was a total of 12 candidates seeking the nomination, but there were five of them who had a legitimate chance. Senator William Seward of New York, Governor of Ohio Salmon P. Chase, former U.S. Representative Edward Bates of Missouri, U.S. Senator Simon Cameron of Pennsylvania, and former Congressman and recently defeated Senate candidate Abraham Lincoln. The GOP nominee was slated to be selected after the Democrats had picked their candidate. However, the Democrats had been forced to adjourn their convention in Charleston, South Carolina, without having elected a nominee. They were scheduled to reconvene in Baltimore, Maryland, to try a second time to finally choose their candidate. As opposed to the current 1,237 delegates needed today, in 1860, the magic number was a mere 233 delegates. Heading into the convention, the presumptive favorite was a very confident Senator William Seward, who brought 19 train cars full of supporters with him to Chicago. Lincoln, however, used his home state advantage well. Even though the wigwam was huge, Lincoln supporters went to work, printing up counterfeit tickets that they handed out to those friendly to their cause to load the convention with supporters, causing many of the Seward supporters to be standing outside the convention. For those who did make it inside, Lincoln's people maneuvered them into an area of the arena where they would be isolated from the other delegates that might be swayed their way. Dirty tricks? Rigged election? No, that's the way the system worked.
The advantage of having the home state, all right? There's a huge Lincoln crowd. They probably printed fake tickets, but that just made a lot of noise. It didn't make any effect on the outcome. What made an effect on the outcome is the platform seating. Because as the host delegation, you sat your delegations on the platform and the 10,000 people are watching this whole process. So Judd, the guy that got Chicago as the site, was in charge of the delegation seating, and it stayed the same for all 3 days and nobody caught on. He put the Seward people over here. That's New York. He put Lincoln over here. He surrounded New York with all the other Seward supporting states. They're locked in. And then all the undecided states are over here next to the Lincoln crowd. So what can't the Seward people do between rounds? They can't get up and log roll. In other words, try to coax votes from coming across. And nobody caught on to this.
The goal of the underdogs in the race, especially Lincoln, was to keep Seward under 233 delegates on the first ballot. Then, after that, Lincoln and his supporters strongly believed that they had a good chance to catch him in the second or third ballot. The strategy worked. On the first ballot, Seward came up 59.5 short at 173.5 delegates. Abraham Lincoln of Illinois had 102. Simon Cameron of Pennsylvania was third with 50.5. Lincoln had accomplished his goal of getting to 100 delegates on the first ballot. The second ballot, maneuvering and politicking really came into play. The Pennsylvania delegation liked Lincoln, but the delegates were split between he and Cameron. So Lincoln's people made a deal with the Pennsylvania delegates. Even though Lincoln himself had instructed them not to, they made the deal that Cameron would receive a cabinet position if the entire delegation of 54 delegates swung to Lincoln. When the votes were counted, Seward was still in the lead, but just barely, 184.5 to 181 for Lincoln. The momentum had definitely swung to Abraham Lincoln. On the third ballot, even more delegates were convinced to cast their lot with Lincoln, and he leaped ahead of Seward, coming dangerously close to the 233 needed to win, falling just short at 231.5 to Seward's 180. At that point, with Lincoln so close, four delegates from Ohio rose to change their votes for Lincoln, causing an avalanche of delegate vote switching. On the corrected third ballot, Abraham Lincoln won his party's nomination with 349 delegates to 111.5 for Seward. Lincoln, as we all know, went on to defeat Democrat Stephen Douglas, the man who had beaten him for the Illinois Senate seat just 2 years prior.
The people that chose Abraham Lincoln at the Chicago Convention of 1860 didn't choose him because they expected him to be the guy that was going to preside over secession and civil war. They chose Abraham Lincoln because they thought he would be the one to prevent it. Had the delegates collected in Chicago really thought that secession was inevitable, and it was by the time of the election in November, but it was not in May of 1860, are they going to choose the Illinois lawyer without any prominent position, the two-time Senate loser? No way. They'll choose the statesman. They would have chosen Seward. They didn't think it was inevitable, and they chose Lincoln because they thought he was the most appeasing candidate for the South because of that middle ground message. So what is Lincoln famous for today? He is the savior of the Union and the emancipator of the slaves, which are two great facets that had no role at all in the minds of the conventioners that chose him.
Most Americans would agree that the election of 1860 was certainly not stolen, and that the exact right man for the right job at the right time was put in that position. Most would agree that no one could have seen America through her most difficult hour better than Abraham Lincoln. Yet another rigged election in the next episode.
Glenn Beck.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house and went through real estate agent after real estate agent, and they were all talking a great game. And this guy who is selling his house, the founder of this company, he's, you know, he's kind of an important guy and kind of, you know, should get the best treatment. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond, and they are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. We have 1,000 agents across the country, and they are people that listen to the show. And so when you go through Real Estate Agents I Trust, it's sent to somebody who already, you already know their sensibilities. They already are cut from exactly the same cloth. There's got to be a better way. There is. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.